Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello there. I'm sorry Robin is not in studio with me today, and I am bummed because I wanted her to meet our guest so desperately. So we're going to save that for another day. So this is just Cheryl all by my lone self talking to one of my favorite people, Carrie Hasenbach, who I've known. Boy, Carrie, I think we've known each other over 25 years. How long have you been married?
25 years, exactly.
25. So we've known each other like almost 30 years.
Boy. Almost 30 years. That's right.
That's crazy. And you were just so, so young when I met you. So we'll talk about that. I've been old all my life, I feel.
An old soul, at least.
I feel like I've been old for so, so long. So for you listeners, Carrie is a friend of mine, and I've loved Carrie from like the first time I met her. She's a little bit, or maybe you've slowed down, but you were pretty hyper way back when. And she just had so much personality. And I remember when she first came to our church, we lived down in San Diego County, and she came and she was just like a breath of fresh air and a ray of sunshine and just lit up the church. And her passion for Jesus, her enthusiasm for the things of the Lord, and her love for people, saved and unsaved, was just infectious. And that's only some of the reasons that I fell in love with Carrie, and I love her to this day. And again, Monday, we were just kind of catching up, getting ready for this program, and I hung up Carrie, and my last thought was like, I forgot how much I love Carrie. I forgot that there was someone like Carrie who is so absolutely lovable in this world. And it just made my day happy, you know. So I wanted our listeners, because I know you just wrote this book, and which is really exciting because that's how I remembered to follow you. Because you don't know who's on Instagram and who's not on Instagram. And a feed came up about your book, and there you were. And I was like, it's Carrie. And immediately I started following and then started hearting everything that I possibly could and getting really excited about your book. I read the outline, you know, kind of what the book is all about. And I can't wait to dive in to this book because I know you, and I know everything that I know about you, and our history together has been just a legacy of love and support and faithfulness and joy and depth. So I wanted our listeners to get to know you, because I think then they're going to want to read your book too. And I can't wait. I am going to get this book, but I really wanted an autographed copy, hint, hint. But I really wanted to have the listeners meet you and hear your story. So let's talk a little bit about where you're from and your life, your family, all of the above.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited. I also got off the phone and went, oh my gosh, that was such a beautiful reconnect. And then all these memories started flooding back of you helping me walk down the aisle in preparation for my wedding and meeting your husband. And so, yeah, I'm also, yeah, feeling touched by the Holy Spirit and reconnecting. So thank you, Cheryl. Yeah. So, yeah, I live in Pennsylvania, in central Pennsylvania, sort of in the middle of nowhere, not far from Philly, not far from Pittsburgh, just sort of right smack dab in the middle. I have four children that I'm raising with my husband, Scott. As I said, we've been married 25 years. Our son is in law school. Our daughter is graduating from high school, heading off to college. And then I have two youngers. I just sort of kept having children. And we've homeschooled for most of that, although, you know, there's all kinds of iterations when you have four children with four different personalities. And so we've done a little of other things. And yeah, God has been really good. And I've learned a lot about living in the tensions where some things are thriving and some things are in the valley climbing out. So yeah, that's where I am right now in central Pennsylvania.
You know, I was just reading Philippians chapter 4 today where Paul said, I have learned to be content in everything. And I was thinking, boy, that's really something that's learned, isn't it?
Mm. And well, it certainly is.
It's
yeah.
learned.
And that idea of like sufficient grace. I remember being in a really difficult time and thinking like, what does sufficient grace mean? Because I don't feel the grace. And then I looked up sufficient and it says just enough. And I thought, just enough. But that's how we become content. It's like, okay, I'll receive what you give me and it's enough.
It is. It is. Okay. So your family was not non-religious, but it wasn't overtly religious or spiritual, wouldn't you say, growing up?
Well, I don't know if I'd say they weren't overt. My extended family wasn't overtly religious, but I had two women in my family that were deeply spiritual, and that was my mom and my father's mother.
Wow.
My one side of my family was primarily Jewish, and then there was a death in the family. My dad's brother drowned as a child. And so my grandmother pressed really hard into the things of Jesus right around the time that I was born. And my mother also became a believer through the Jesus movement spreading east. And so I was raised with my grandmother and my mother. I was learning sort of side by side with them through that and just sort of pulling down different things. But my heritage was much more probably focused on academics and intellectualism and doing it right. And so I'm thankful for these two women influences that gave me practices, but I wasn't surrounded by like a really Bible-based Calvary Chapel church kind of community when I was growing up.
Right. So, You didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus, right? Or through high school and college, or did you have like inklings or?
So me?
Yeah.
So I came to the Lord when I was 5. And as a young kid, I was called the Jesus kid, but I was surrounded by non-believers. So I definitely had a strong relationship with Jesus. I didn't have a community of believers really. Yeah. So my brother called me Jesus's sister because I, you know, always talked about Jesus and saw Jesus and heard Jesus, but I didn't have deep community. Everyone, I think you met a lot of my friends from high school because when they had struggles, I would tell them about Jesus and they would come to Jesus and they'd give their life and. But we all didn't really know how to go deep into the study of the word. And so, yeah, that was later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you went to college. What was your major in college?
So I went to Bucknell University and I double majored in international relations and Russian.
And that's how you ended up meeting my husband in Russia.
Yeah. Well, first I met him in Austria.
Oh,
but
wow.
He was, I know, yeah, going back and forth to Europe and yeah. I mean, after the communist wall came down. So I was living there in 1992 when I first went. I had wanted to go before that because I already had studied Russian growing up. And then Josh McDowell was going to Russia with the, you know, more than a carpenter. And I said that I wanted to go and be a missionary because Jesus had just was continually transforming my life. And I was going to a lot of camps because we had to go to camps to really get good teaching. And he said, no, go finish studying Russian. We don't have many Americans who speak Russian. And so I finally went studying economic reform in 92. And Calvary Chapel was one of the churches that sent missionaries to Russia. And I met a group. This one was actually led by Pastor Jack Hibbs. I met him on the streets of St. Petersburg. And I started volunteering with Calvary Chapel. I was volunteering with the Salvation Army. I was volunteering with a lot of different churches while I was a student. But at one point, about 2 years later, I went back as a missionary and ended up at a missions conference at the Calvary Chapel Castle in Millstadt. And I met your husband there. He was one of the really powerful speakers that was, bringing life to the missionaries. And yeah, so that's when I met Brian.
All right. So, is that what, drew you to Vista? Cause that's where I met you, was in Vista, California. So what drew you to Vista then?
So, when we were at the castle, I ended up in a conversation in one of the rooms, there was a lot of missionaries sitting around, and the pastors had come in, were chatting with us, and your husband actually said, "You remind me, your personality reminds me so much of my beloved wife." Like, and I thought, well, he loves her, so that's great, you know? And because, you know, I also have a lot of energy like you, Cheryl.
Yes.
And we started talking about the things of God, and I was very passionate about the things of God. I was seeing hundreds of people coming to the Lord by just talking about Jesus in Russia. And so we're talking about this, and he said, I really think that you need to know all of the scriptures, like to get the full counsel of the deep scriptures. And so why don't you come to Calvary Chapel Bible College? And I said, oh yeah. So no, thanks. I've already finished college. I am on this trajectory to go work in Washington. And that's so nice of you. He said, no, we have a scholarship. And I said, yes, thank you. No. And so I went back to Moscow after the conference and continue my work. And the Lord, every morning, every night, was showing me this is what I was called to do, and I was to leave. And so I moved out to Vista, and my parents were sure that I was in a cult, because who takes somebody who's finished college to go back to college and not to be on the plan that my parents had for me? So yeah, that's when I met you and was at Vista and experienced, you know, just the deep understanding of the scriptures verse by verse, going through it. And I think the revelation for me, Cheryl, was that I had received all of these teachings, but I didn't know where they were in the Word. And so I started connecting my mother, my grandmother taught me this. My mother taught me this. My Jewish great-grandfather taught me this, but I didn't know how it all pieced together. So Calvary was an integrative process for me.
You know, I really, really love that, because I find that I'm really a composite piece. That, you know, some of the truths yeah. that I speak and share, I once had a lady who wrote down all the things that I ever said in 1 year doing my Bible studies that really blessed her. And I was so excited to get this, you know, little pithy list of, you know, these wonderful adages. And when I looked it over, I was like, oh, that was my dad's. Oh, that was my mom. Oh, that was my aunt's. Oh, I got that from, you know, Ruth Bell Graham. Oh, I got, and nothing was original. And I remember looking at this list going, do I have any original thoughts at all? You know, but we are a composite. I mean, you think about all of the generations who have loved Jesus and have spoken these truths, and then they come to us. And I love it. Matthew
That's
chapter.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 13 talks about how everyone who knows the Word of God, who is schooled in the Word of God, is like a homeowner who goes into his attic and pulls out treasures that are old and new. And that's what I think about, you know, these gifts. So you're in Vista, you graduate from Bible college. What happens next?
So, yes, when I was there, I remember receiving a phone call from you in the middle of my second year.
Oh, right.
And you said, Carrie, Brian and I have been praying. I don't know if you remember this.
A little bit. Yeah. Yes.
I'm picturing myself. I'm feeling myself sitting there in the office, because I got a call from Cheryl and I was to come to the office. And Brian and I have been praying, and we need somebody to step in to teach ninth grade history and English. And the Lord brought you to mind. And yes, okay, I will do this. And so I had this other sort of very beautiful additional piece while I was there finishing was working as a ninth grade teacher at Calvary Chapel High School. So that was such a really significant piece. But as I was finishing, I received a full ride scholarship to American University, and I had applied 2 years earlier. So it was completely God. And that moved me back to East, and it actually sort of put me into Washington, D.C., where I would in some ways get back to the quote unquote plan that my parents had. And my parents love the Lord, and they both were born again and walking with the Lord at this point. But I think it's hard for parents when their kids aren't fulfilling what they think is their call. And I realized that God was doing this very circuitous route where I had to go get these competencies that I would need for Capitol Hill. And I will tell you, Cheryl, when God would ultimately place me on Capitol Hill, the thing that I needed absolutely the most was a deep understanding of the Word of God. And yeah.
You know, that's a lot of the Bible college students that we have are ones that have already graduated. They already have a BA, but they're going not so much for the certificate because, ta-da, we're accredited now, but they're going more like you to have like kind of a deeper understanding and connection with the Word of God so that when they're going into their field or when they're getting their master's or their doctorates, they're prepared for, you know, those eventualities and really prepared to give a reason why of the hope that lies in them and what the Bible truly says. Because as you know, and, you know, definitely from college and from being on Capitol Hill, that people have a misguided view of God and of what the Word of God says and what the Word of God is about. I mean, how many people see it as just like this moral ledger and law book that's going to hit them over the head instead of, you know, or even a story of genocide instead of seeing it as a loving God saying, look, I've let you go your way, but this is what I've done for you.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then it's alive. And it's, if you know the Word and it's fills you, which is what happened to me. And I could connect it to stories my mom had told, because now here I am, you know, in a church that's saying, let's open up to Second Kings, you know, and reading it and going, oh, wait, I've seen this. I've heard this story in my mother's life or my grandmother's life and in my life. And you start to see how those scriptures integrate with human life. And then when you're in a new situation, you realize you can pull that down because the Holy Spirit pulls it up from the inside where it's logged. I actually like to think of my heart as a library, and the Holy Spirit is this inner librarian that gets on this ladder that slides inside of me. And when I'm asking questions, the librarian, you know, the Holy Spirit slides and pulls down the scripture and delivers it to my mind. And it's like, oh, there it is. That's the answer. But if you don't have that on board your soul, which is really what deep study the Word did for me, I wouldn't be able to have walked in the ministry that God has had for me, doing what I'm doing now and what I've been doing. Yeah.
Okay. So when you were in Vista, I remember thinking that you were so dynamic and so intelligent and such an incredible catch. I was kind of like, who will be the right guy for Carrie? Because, you know, there were some dates and I never quite thought that they were up to par. I will just say this from a woman, you know, looking at a distance going, oh, no, not that one, Carrie. You are like. And then I remember you calling us up because you had met Scott. So how did you meet Scott and how did you know? So this is a little shout out for those girls who don't know and, you know, or, you know, kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was 26 and I had, yeah. Will the Lord give me somebody that's wonderful? I will say going into this, I did a lot of praying and I, you know, sometimes felt like I was in the Spirit and sometimes I was in idolatry, which the Lord had to deal with my idolatry in the dating process. And so I remember saying to the Lord, like, please, Lord, make sure that I'm in the Spirit when you show me who this person is so that I can hear and see you. I don't want to end up with the wrong person. God knows everyone's future. And so I was at the time living in Charleston, South Carolina. I was traveling back and forth to Russia. I was working in intercountry adoption and working as a translator. And I went to this church. I just started going and I was supposed to meet up with the assistant pastor. And I arrived at the meeting and he was supposed to have a meeting with someone else, which was my husband, Scott. And the pastor didn't show. And Scott and I met. And I was, at the time, I thought I was in love with somebody else. I was absolutely completely head over heels in idolatry for sure at the time of somebody with somebody else. And Scott met me and we became friends. And I remember thinking, oh, he's really cute. I should set him up with one of my new girlfriends here. And so he very patiently journeyed with me as my friend. And the Lord began to show me that I had an idolatry problem. And because I was looking for what I thought was a hero and I was using worldly sort of a rubric, a worldly rubric. And one day I was going to, you know, go to North Carolina where this guy that I was dating lived. And my husband now, Scott, we were just friends at the time. He said, "Hey, are you coming to my baptism?" And I was like, "No, sorry. I'm going to be away." And that morning that I woke up that he was to be baptized, the spirit so strongly, the inner librarian said, "Are you going to miss your husband's baptism?" And I thought, "Wow, what? My husband." And so I went to his baptism. And when he went in the water, it was one of those baptisms, very similar to the old California baptisms. There was like about 100 people on the beach. And they said, "Who would like to be baptized first?" And Scott, as you know, Cheryl, is very patient. He doesn't push forward. He lets other people go first. And he was the first person to raise his hand because he wanted all of Jesus. And he went straight into the water. He got baptized. He came up and the scales came off my eyes. When he came up, I fell in love with him. And I realized that I was the one who had the wrong eyes. And so I had to reach out to this other guy and to tell him that I realized I've been in idolatry of him. And he said, "This doesn't sound like good news for me."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Well, it is, because idolatry leads to resentment. And I have set you up to be more than human." And anyway, yada, yada, yada. Scott and I ended up getting married, and I have been so grateful, so grateful. And the funny part is, right before we got married, he got a call from his university saying that he would be the youngest person to be inducted into his college Hall of Fame for basketball.
Wow.
And I said, "I didn't even really know you were good. Why wouldn't you tell me that?" And he said, "Well, that's not my identity. That's not who I am." I had only known him as this like deep studier of the Bible, loved Jesus, you know, working as a businessman. And I realized that the Lord was addressing my idolatry. But then in this sort of funny little way, God went, and he's also a hero in human terms, but that is not what I value.
That's so good. That's so good. I feel like your next book might be for young women to know how to discern and how to find and the right person and not the wrong person. So, Carrie, I remember getting that, Brian getting that call and said, "Guess who's getting married?" And we, you know, flew back to Pennsylvania for your wedding. And I remember being so impressed with Scott. I thought one of the things that I loved about Scott is he was willing to let you shine, and he is willing to let you shine, and he's not intimidated, but blessed and willing to. And that's not easy for a man to, you know, let his wife shine. And yet he's so good at that.
Yeah, he really is. And it's been a beautiful journey. He's not insecure. And he, because of his lack of insecurity, because he's so grounded in the things of God and knows who he is in the Lord, he's so patient. He's gentle. And I just think the strongest men are patient and gentle because they know that God is strength. But it's been quite a journey with us, because what we've realized is there's these times when, I don't know, we talk about it as like a bicycle where he's the front wheel leading us. And I'm sort of home doing the things that are necessary to keep a home. And then next thing we know, it'll switch. And now I'm the front wheel, not really leading us spiritually necessarily, but we're sort of having to go where my occupation is taking us, and he's coming alongside of that endeavor like he did with this book. And we really are equally yoked, but it began with being equally yoked spiritually and saying, "Lord, we are two kids coming to you, and you are the boss of us both." Yeah.
I love that, because, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, marriage should be 50-50. And it has its days where it's 50-50, but it also has its days where it's like 95-5. You know, and, you know, I'm doing 5% of the pulling and Brian's doing 95% of the pulling and 80-20 and 75-25. And there are all sorts of different times when yeah. you're yoked together, where one's pulling a little harder. And I love that you're kind of trading off. And that's the beauty of marriage. So, Carrie, not this part, not this half, but in the next half, I want to talk a little bit about the trajectory of your life and where the Lord's taken you since then, and of course, I want to talk a little bit about 9/11 because that was a really key time for you with my husband and with Scott. And so I want to talk about that when we come back. But we're at the end of this session, but there's so much more to Carrie's story. And I really want you to come back. You'll hear a little bit about her book and what motivated her. And that's all coming up in part two. So join us for part two with my friend Carrie Hasenbach coming up next week.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.